Welcome to season 3 of the Riddle of Faith podcast, where my dad and I invite you to listen in on our conversations about life and faith. I am so excited for this season because it's all about music, which was a big part of my parents' ministry. If you are joining us for the first time, my name is Tamson and my dad's name is Dale Riddle. And I've said before, he's a farm boy turned rock and roll singer turned evangelist. And we spent the first 2 seasons of the podcast hearing stories from his really crazy and wonderful life. And there are many more stories that are going to come out as we discuss his songwriting and the inspiration and the life circumstances behind the songs. So thank you for joining us. Let's get started. Hi, Dad.
Hello, Tamson. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to be starting our season 3. Can you believe we're doing season 3?
It doesn't seem possible. We've done 2 years of this already. Gosh.
I know. I'm excited. We've had so many things recorded that we've all these stories and stuff. But when we started this, I didn't know if we'd just do 3 or 4 or if it was how long it would go on. And here we are now, season 3. I'm excited for season 3, too, because we are going to be doing it's going to be a focus on music, which is a huge part of your life. You grew up around music. It was a part of your childhood. It was a part of your, you know, we did 2 whole podcasts just about your band days. And then of course it was a big part of your ministry. And so we've talked about the music kind of throughout the different podcasts, at different times, but I'm hoping you can kind of give me a little summary of, you know, the role that music played in your life, how you got involved and how it, you know, when you started in ministry, how you got into, you had this season of songwriting. There's a whole history there. I'm hoping you can kind of summarize for me to get us started.
Okay. Well, I'll do my best. And if I've always said music has always somehow been a part of my life, from growing up in church, singing hymns, and my sister and I used to sing special music in churches. And then during my middle school years, when I was a young person, I sang in a gospel quartet for about 3 years. We sang on the radio and traveled to a lot of different churches. Did that for about 3 years. And I actually played in my first band when I was 14 years old. And believe it or not, I was the drummer and knew nothing about playing drums. However, I did have good rhythm and basic timing, so I faked my way through it. But it didn't take long. After a few gigs, it was decided I'd be a better singer, and we found another drummer. And in high school, I sang in the chorus group, all through high school. We did musicals, and then our music leader at school put together another quartet, and our group traveled. We sang in talent shows, and we had a great time doing that. Did that about a year, and we came in second place in a big talent show in Greensboro. It was funny. This talented pianist and singer stole the show with his version of Jerry Lee Lewis's Great Balls of Fire. It was really popular at that time. But our group came in second. We sang The Wayward Wind. And a high school band called the King Bees came in third. And so, as you know, in 1961, I became a member of the King Bees and played with them for almost 8 years until 1969. So, golly, music has always somehow been a part of my life. Well, later on, after college, we were in college. We didn't do a lot of music while we were in West Virginia, but we moved to Birmingham, Alabama to go to Samford University in 1971. And friend Charles Howell was ministering down there, and he asked Gild and I to do an album. There was a man in the church, his name was Kenny Wallace. Kenny had a music studio and recorded many artists in the area. So we actually made our first album in, I guess it was 1971 or 72, just using friends from our church as the musicians. And so we printed out 1,000 copies and we sold them and paid back the money Charles had put up for us to record. And that was the end of it. I had not planned to do anything else. We just did that because he wanted us to. And we sang in the choirs at church, and we did special music, and I taught Sunday school. We had a busy life for our 2 years in Alabama, but that's how, that was the first recording that we ever did there, was 1971. And so following our move to Texas to attend seminary, I was hired as a temporary music director at the church in Bridgeport, Texas. Well, I don't know what kind of music director I was, but through a series of circumstances, I can't tell on this podcast, it's too long, but I became pastor of the Cuba Baptist Church. Now, that was ironic, in the fact that I pastored a church named Cuba, and my last 30 years in ministry was focused a lot in Cuba, and I loved the 30 years we had working down there. So maybe the Lord, even those days, was preparing me for work in Cuba that I didn't know, because the pastor of a church called Cuba Baptist was weird enough.
It's true.
And so I was hired, and that was basically it. We were settled in and preaching, and then all of a sudden I decided, through the request of friends, to try to write a song.
Well, before we get to that, tell me, on that first album that you guys did, you did that before you started ministry. So that was, you were just still in seminary. I just got the connection when you said that Kenny Wallace was, I knew Kenny was the person who we used to go down to the studio. He sort of put all of our music to Del Their Ranging, and yeah, we did all of our recordings with him when I was a kid. And I didn't realize you guys went back that far. I had no idea that he was the...
Yeah. All the way back into the early 70s.
Wow. Well, we'll have to talk about that later on in the podcast, because that was a really interesting experience to do all of the recordings as a kid with Kenny and all those really talented musicians. But if you had to pick a song for me to, I might just put a clip of a song on here that kind of represents that first album that you and Mom did when you were in Birmingham. What song do you think you would pick?
Well, we entitled the song The Way That He Loves. And of course, I guess that would be the feature song. It was a song people enjoyed, and they requested that we sing it. And so that was a song that we knew. But many of the songs on the album were just songs. Some were just basic hymns. Some were arrangements that choirs and things. It was a composite. Some of it was just pure old country music. Like one of the songs we did on the first album was Put Your Hand in the Hand. It was real popular back then, and Gilda and I had been singing that in churches some, so, but our musicians, I didn't have a pianist that could play it, because we were using musicians out of the church in that first album. They were all just friends of ours, so not professional musicians, and so my pianist couldn't play I played the piano on Put Your Hand in the Hand, and of all the albums and things I recorded through all these years, that's the only song you'll ever find me playing piano on in any of the albums. Because I used good musicians when I had music. I didn't want to play for myself on an album, but that day I didn't have any choice.
I can't believe that's the only time you ever played piano on an album, though, because you played, you know, on the road. That was like a feature. Everybody loved hearing you play the piano, so that's funny to me.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who steals the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Take a look at yourself.
That's a great song. I used to love that song when I was a kid. But yeah, and that, I don't know how you guys ever got that record made, because you said that if anybody messed up, you had to start over. You didn't have separate tracks back then.
That's right. The system we had was just like a one track or two track thing. And if anybody messed up, you had to start over, because you couldn't just, you know, have all the separate musicians on different tracks and then just fix their part. You had to do it all together. So everybody had to be in sync, whether it's the singers or the musicians. And that was hard. That first album's got really a few hard. Little errors in it, but it's still a pretty good album for amateurs to put together.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I think it's great. Okay. Well, that is interesting. So tell me now about, so you had, you and mom, though, when you were pastoring that little church in Cuba, you and mom still did music around, I believe, in the area. So music was still like a big part of your ministry, even there at Cuba. But how did you get into then the songwriting piece of, because you spent, there was like a season in your life when you did a lot of original music. And how did you start into that?
Well, like you're right, Yelda and I did a lot of music, and we did a lot of revivals with other people in the area providing the music for them. But and because of that, I met a group in Bridgeport, Texas. They were named the Glory Express. And we all lived in the same area, and sometimes I'd get together with them and go over at night or something and sing and have some fellowship, because I love gospel music. And sometimes we'd actually, both the same groups would be together in churches, and we'd sing together sometimes in the churches and during revivals. So I became friends with this group and got to know them, and they knew I played piano, and I guess they assumed I could write. And so they asked me if I would write them a theme song. They wanted an original song for their group. They didn't have any original music, and if I would do that. And so I wasn't sure I could write. I never had really tried it. But I looked for the words first. I just took Glory and Express, the two words in their gospel group's name. And I found a verse in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I thought, okay, we're to express glory to God. This, but I can't get glory expressed out of this, but I can get expressed glory. And so I wrote the song, just fooling around with it, put in the chords and recorded it on the cassette tape. But I took the song to the group, and oh, they loved it. I played it for them, but they couldn't do it, because without actual noted music and arrangements, their piano player couldn't play it. And I certainly couldn't write it out in note form. So some reason, the Glory Express never used the song, but they thanked me for writing it, and I just let it go for a few years. And over the years, I encouraged them to go to Kenny in Birmingham, too, and they recorded about 7 albums through the years. I introduced them to my studio there, and they fell in love with that program as well. And so we were good friends, and we remain friends of this group. Most of them have passed away now. But I had forgotten all about that song until 1977, really. Gelda and I had decided we were going into evangelism. And so we resigned the church, and I told Gelda, I think we need to go record another album, so we'll have that to work with while we're in evangelism, because people like music. And so I decided, well, I want a theme for our ministry, so why not use that theme song I wrote for the Glory Express? And so I took the song and I titled it To the Glory of God, and used that. That was the basic theme for our ministry. We used that verse and that title our entire time. And the theme for our ministry is to live a life that expresses the glory of God. And so for many years, we opened our revival services singing that song, and it went over really well. And I continued to write some music for about 10 years then, from about age 32 until I was 41 or two. Then I got distracted and just another thing and busy. So all the songs I've written have a story behind them. They always show you, first of all, how to be a Christian, and they usually how to live the Christian life, and then give you hope and happiness. And so I think my method and my whole purpose was just preach a short message with every song. And you could tell, like, this is the first verse of the song. It tells us why we came. You know, we've not come to entertain you or to show you how good we can sing. We've not come to gain your praises or to hear our virtues ring. We've come to share God's blessings through Jesus, our Lord and King. So we'll gladly tell you now just why we love to sing. For whatever we do, we're going to do to the glory of God. And whatever we say, we're going to say to the glory of God. For the greatest thing a man can do is to let his life express Jesus to you. So glory, express glory, and do it all to the glory of God.
Show you how good we can sing. We have not come to gain your praises or to hear our virtues ring. Come to share God's blessings through Jesus our Lord and King. Praise God, we gladly tell you now just why we love to sing. For whatever we do, we're gonna do to the glory of God. And whatever we say, we're gonna say to the glory of God. For the greatest thing that a man can do is to let his life express Jesus.
And that was the introduction. And then the second verse talks about Jesus, how he came to save us, and the story of Christ. Third verse talks about the hope we have of heaven in the future. And so you'll find this kind of a pattern like that throughout my writing. I'm always trying to preach a message and share the love of Christ through song.
Yeah, and you were so good at it. It was your songs were always so catchy. People loved your music. It was a huge part of your ministry, and people still talk about it today. That's why I'm kind of like excited to revisit it and like reintroduce it. For some people, it might be new. A lot of people, it'll just be like a walk down memory lane, and it'll be fun to like listen to it again. So, mm-hmm. and music is very powerful in that way. It's a catchy little way to sort of. I mean, music has a way of. People kind of let their guard down with music. It has a way of like bypassing a lot of our defenses. It has this way of really kind of infiltrating in places that we might not consciously let things go. And so there's just something really special about it. And I think it was a real special part of your ministry.
It is. Yeah. Music is, I think the music has always spoken to me. I've always loved, the hymns and the choruses and the songs and the gospel, Southern gospel music. But I don't know. It's just always been a part of me, and I wouldn't know how to function hardly without music. But I never really thought about getting into it. It just kind of stumbled into it. But I'm glad that music was a part of my world, because to me, music will touch me when nothing else will. It takes a super preacher to get my attention and to keep me entertained. I mean, most preachers, I just bored to death. But you put a good singer up there with a great song, you got my attention, and I listen to every bit of it, and it speaks to me. So a lot of times when I went to church, I got more out of the music than I ever did the preaching.
Yeah, and you were, the thing is, it's so funny to me how you wrote for just that season, the 10 years or something that you were talking about, and it was very easy for you. Like, you would just get an idea, and you could develop it so quickly, and you could get it. It was just so easy for you, and yet you picked it up very easily, and you gave it up very easily, and it was always just this,
extra
thing. Yeah, I know,
isn't that crazy? I'm bad for that. I know the other night we were sitting here and I was playing something on the piano, and Gil says, "It's a shame you don't use your talents. You've got the gift to write anything. You don't ever write, you know." And I said, "Well, I'll write a song for you right now. Give me a word." And she said, "Love." And so I sang her a chorus about love she had never heard. Now, I have no idea what it was then, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's the thing. You'd have to, if you just walked around with a tape recorder and just like, you know, sung all your ideas, there's no telling. You've got it just comes very easily for you. So I'm glad that you at least recorded through the years some of your music. And I think it'll be fun to visit these songs. We're going to go through and talk about the different songs that you wrote and what the story was behind those, the theology behind them. The season of life you were in, whatever, like all those kind of things. And so I think it'll be kind of a nice history to revisit those songs. And we might pick, after we've done the ones that you wrote, we might pick some of the other ones as well that just had special meaning to you or something like that. But we'll see how, we'll at least get through all the ones that you wrote. And then Mom wrote a song. I wrote a whole album of songs. Like, I think you kind of inspired like the whole family to do some writing, and you made it look easy. So we all thought we could do it too.
Well, you were pretty good at it too. You were gifted at that, and you don't ride anymore.
Well, I would still love to. If I ever get a chance to ride in the car by myself, I still can come up with songs and write music. But for me, it's always been just a creative outlet. It was never like anything that I wanted to do commercially or anything, or that I thought I would do commercially or anything like that. But it was a lot of fun the years that I did it.
Yeah, well, your songs, and we'll have to feature those too, because that was quite a good album, and it was very creative and theologically sound and things you don't think about much. That was a great album. I'm glad you
did. I was young. I was like 18, 19. Yeah. Right in there when I wrote those songs. Yeah. So we'll have to, it's going to be an interesting season. I'm excited to do season 3 about the music, and then we'll pull Mom into some of these. And, but this was a good start to kind of just kind of get a feel for what music, how it all came together. And that first song, your first original song that you wrote and recorded, To the Glory of God. That really was, it did set the tone for the rest of your ministry. I think that ended up being pretty providential. I don't know if that's the right word, but it does seem like.
Well, that's close. I was hesitant about doing my music in churches and things because, you know people love all the old favorite songs and stuff. And I remember the first time we performed it, and we were in a little small church up in Virginia, and Gilda will know what we want to open. I said, let's just go ahead and sing To the Glory of God. And she said, oh my, you sure you want to do it? I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's see how it goes over. And it was a little small country church. They didn't express themselves very well. And Gilda and I sang that song, and we were inspired, and we were just starting out in ministry. And the church gave us a standing ovation when we got through. And I said, all right, Lord, thank you for that affirmation. That never happened again. But it happened that one time.
That was very affirming. And you've had a ton of affirmation through the years about your music. So, I think that there's something special about it. So it'll be fun. That's going to be a fun season to re-listen to all that. Well, thanks, Dad. It's always a fun conversation. Always fun to talk to you.
Oh, I enjoy it talking to you. I'm glad you're going to have all these old memories now that you can share with them now someday if you want to. I kind of been able to leave a part of myself by talking to you. So it's
well, and your music stands the test of time too. So hopefully we can get that out on some sort of platform where people can listen to it or download it if they want, things like that. So
that'd be fun.
I'm still researching that. This is all new territory for me, but we'll see what we can do. Well, I hope you have a good night. I look forward to talking about the next song at the next time. And I hope I love you very much. I always enjoy our conversations, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, hon. Thanks for talking, and you have a great day and night.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Do it all to the glory of God.
Amen.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Instead of doing a wrap-up after these podcasts about music, I'm just going to play the song that we discussed. Thank you for your time, and I hope you'll join us again.
We have not come far to show you how good we can sing. We have not come to gain your praises or to hear our virtues ring. We have come to share God's blessings through Jesus our Lord and King. Praise God, we gladly tell you now just why we love to sing. For whatever we do, we're gonna do to the glory of God. And whatever we say, we're gonna say to the glory of God.
Now one day it will all be over, and we're going to heaven's land. We're going to tread upon the streets of gold, and we'll see those nail-scarred hands. And we'll take our place in glory right beside the angel band. How happy I'll be forevermore, living over in the glory land. Praise God. So whatever we do, we're gonna do to the glory of God. And whatever we say, we're gonna say to the glory of God. For the greatest thing that a man can do is to let his life express Jesus to you. So glory, express glory, and do it all for the glory of God. For the greatest thing that a man can do is to let his